Hey geeks, welcome to episode 93 of It's All Geek to Me Radio. This is your host, Kate. On this episode, Em and I welcome our good friend Mike, otherwise known as Captain Cosplay on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, to chat all things Agent Carter. And we talk about a good bit of things that don't have anything to do with Agent Carter, as usual, but we definitely get down to the nitty-gritty of what we really loved about this season. And we ask that all of you, when you're talking about Agent Carter on social media, use the hashtag #RenewAgentCarter. Enjoy the show.
Great segue.
Well, yeah.
That was good. It was good.
It was good until I didn't hear you and made it worse.
No, it's okay.
You made it weird.
I'm gonna pull the Eddie Izzard no link and just keep going. But yeah, I've got my little Peggy Pop and my little Coulson Pop sitting here. And here's hoping that we get a season three, you guys.
We will.
On this show.
We will. It was set up definitely for a season three.
I agree.
No, I don't want to do any spoilers, but I mean, anyone who's listening.
Oh, no, you can spoil the crap out of it.
Spoil away.
Yeah, we do.
We warn people. It's fine.
I mean, I'm thinking about, okay, great. The whole reason that, you know, we have, I'll just say the death. I'll just call it the death at the end. In the finale, you know, he already had outlived his usefulness, basically, as a character. And we found out, you know, he was this red herring. Is he going to be a good guy? Is he going to be a bad guy? We find out, yes, he is a good guy. He does have everyone's best intentions at heart. And he gives the only thing that he really, really had was that key, that pin that turns into a key.
Mm-hmm.
Gave that to Peggy, and once he had given her that, he had no more cards left.
Yeah, but no. You don't understand. I went through so many emotions with his character this season.
Yeah.
I basically loved and hated him depending on the second.
Yeah, it depended on the moment.
It depended on the second, and I was like, well, I mean, he's just, but then, and then the shite hit the fan, and I screamed at my computer screen at my desk at work. So professional. Because, no, like, I don't want him dead. I mean, there are people I want dead. I don't want him dead, though.
Yeah, you don't want him dead.
No, Jack Thompson's character throughout the course of the entire show, from season one into season two, has been at war with himself, which is kind of a fun character to have in the show, because he's... The thing I really loved about most of these characters is none of them were unrelatable.
No.
Like, they all of them, from Peggy on down, you either have known someone like that, you are like that, you have a bit of your life that you lived, and you were kind of like, you know, like that character. And I really, really loved that about this show. I loved this season even more so because the women finally got to come in from all angles. So, like, we had Dottie Underwood back, and we had already had a female villain, but Whitney Frost was just such a great villain.
Yeah.
And the way they roped her into being this Hollywood starlet, it was just so great. Like, I love in the finale when Jarvis hits her with the car, and Howard's like, you just hit that woman with my car. She's a 2-time Oscar nominee.
And he's like,
she's
fine.
Howard Stark. Oh, Howard Stark. But yeah, I really liked that some of the women really got to shine. I think Anna Jarvis, the addition of Anna Jarvis was great. Rose having more of a role in the SSR was fabulous. And of course it was Peggy who was the one like, no, you need to give her a shot. That whole, it's funny, I'm seeing Daniel Sousa, but I'm hearing Jack Thompson. That was one of my favorite lines of the whole season.
That was by far one of the best lines of the season.
So good. But yeah, I really kind of loved the way they treated a lot of things, the way they treated even the diversity issue. Like, they knew they were adding in diverse characters, and they weren't going to just ignore the fact that there was racism in the 1940s.
Right.
And the way that they did it was so good.
I really, really love that.
I loved his character, too, from the very beginning. And I got swept up in the love triangle a bit.
Nope, we were fighting over that.
Yeah, I know. I was totally Peggy Sue's all the way along the entire season. But I liked Jason. And it was... The thing I loved about that, too, is even when they included a block in the Peggy-Daniel relationship, it was always someone you liked. You liked Jason Wilkes. You liked Violet. It would make it so easy for us to hate her. And they made us like her, and they made us like him. And I think that was really smart on their part. I really loved Violet's character. I think she was great. She was a strong female character in her own right.
I don't know that I loved her, but I didn't hate her.
Well, I didn't love her the way I love Peggy, but...
Well, no, nobody. You love no one love you like you love Peggy, but I mean...
Touché.
I didn't... love her when she was in scenes. I was like, oh, you're here, okay.
I mean,
I didn't care for her, but I didn't dislike her, and that's the important thing.
Yeah, I remember having a conversation really early on when, like, Peggy had found the ring and given it back to him. I had a conversation really early on with our friend Heather via text message, where she was like, okay, so provided this engagement happens, how do we get out of it? And I was like, the only thing I can think of is death. And that
death,
sucks.
Death and, death.
And that sucks. Why do you have to kill the fiance? And the way they handled it was great, I think. The way they got him out of the engagement.
Although, I'm still a little miffed about that, because he's only been out there for how long and getting engaged? Come on.
Well, but I'll talk about as a guy.
Please do.
If you are running away from something, the easiest thing to do, especially if you're going to compartmentalize something to help you get over a relationship, is you have a rebound. And hey, if that rebound is good, and all of a sudden you say, oh, well, you know what? I'm smart enough to know what actually is a good thing. Even though this started off, you know, oh, this is nice. But you do. You start off and say, okay, well, you know, let me just see where this goes. And I'm more wanting to run away from my problem. Even if he didn't realize it, even if he's just saying, you know, no, I'm fine. I'm not in love with Peggy. I'm just going to go out and still look around. Because there was never actually anything defined in that first season, really.
Something happened. In between seasons, though, something happened.
Yes, something happened, but that's all speculation. There was nothing that officially...
It has to be speculation, because the way that we left them is her saying she couldn't go and have coffee with him because she was going to move into Howard Stark's mansion. I think she did have a previous appointment. So, like, I can't foresee this guy being like, I'm taking this position in LA. She doesn't want to go out for coffee with me, so she doesn't like me anyway, and I'm just going to leave. Something else did have to happen in there.
Something happened.
Like, they went on a bad date or something. Something happened.
I think that she was still trying to get over Steve.
Well, I mean, she's always going to be trying to get over Steve.
I mean, if you watch the little... they released... I don't know if it's on one of the DVDs or not. They released a video that's like 3 minutes long that's the actual interview that they kind of taped for the Smithsonian exhibit. And at one point, the person who's like playing the interviewer asks her, you know, well, Peggy, you know, you were the last one to talk to Captain Steve Rogers before he went into the water. What was that conversation like? And the way that she can't even speak and starts to get all tears up and almost like loses her cool, you can tell that it's not, they're not letting this character give him up that way ever. But at the same time, the way they finished last season, they wanted it to kind of be like a finale type thing. She pours out the blood into the river and that's her saying goodbye.
Right.
So I think they wanted the fandom at least to go with her on this. Well, I have to move on with my life. But I don't think she would ever forget about him.
No, and she can't.
No, it's not. They're always going to be connected. Like,
I think there's something that's really, really fascinating with pulling in Captain America, Winter Soldier. They never actually show a picture of the guy that she married, and they
True.
never mention, and they have pictures of her kids, of her
But
children
not him.
in the bedroom, but they never show a picture of who her husband ends up being. So that also leaves it open. Even within Agent Carter, we don't know if she is going to actually end up with Daniel Sousa or somebody else.
It fits. I always thought that it fit because they in that same interview she says, that he was that, Captain America rescued over however many hundreds of men and including the man who would become my husband. It makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. But they need to at least solidify that that was Daniel Sousa's group that had been rescued by Captain America.
Touche.
They haven't done that yet.
No, they have not. And I, yeah, I, you're right. I would really
But
love
that's
it if we get a season three that if that's all that they want to do and they don't want to go any further with it, if just by set it in Washington, D.C., and she has to go off and capture Daddy Underwood, who's still at large at the end of this season, and her and Howard found S.H.I.E.L.D. by the end of the season, and then I would be okay with it being done.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what they're going to do because, we all know what is going to happen in Civil War. So I think that it makes a great
Do
bridge.
we?
Well,
I don't know anything.
speculation. Again, speculation. There's
Was like,
no.
wait, did I miss something here?
No, there's nothing official until the movie is released.
Right.
I did
Ever.
see something today, though, that there's not going to be anything about the Secret Warriors in Civil War.
Yeah.
Like S.H.I.E.L.D.'s coming back tomorrow night, and that's what they're doing is they're talking about the Secret Warriors, but they have nothing to do with Civil War. So that's interesting.
That
Normally
is.
they like to incorporate it into it might maybe they'll incorporate it into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but they're not going to
Right.
incorporate the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. characters into the movie.
No. I think that they're done incorporating a majority of those characters from the whole reason they were able to do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was because of the fan love for Coulson.
Clark Gregg, how dare you be so lovable?
The only character Joss Whedon could not permanently kill.
You know what I have to say? I love that Clark Gregg really does not age.
I know.
Yeah.
You
He
know
really doesn't.
why?
If you watch, there's a great episode of the Young Indiana Jones Adventures, and it is, gosh, I think it's called, it's not Summer of Love. Hold on, let me look this up. It's Sean Patrick Flanery, and he falls in love with some beautiful young female. I'm trying to remember her
As
name.
you do.
Yeah, but it's she wrote the Nancy Drew books. Who was that?
Who wrote the Nancy Drew books? I have no idea.
I have no idea, but I do know there's a pilot based on Nancy Drew coming out where she's older.
So, Angela Lansbury?
It's called Drew. Yeah, it's basically,
It's Murder, She
no, but
Wrote
this
times
The Mystery
two.
of Nancy Drew.
Nancy Drewed, yes.
Where she has to be a man
It's
and a woman.
starring Betty Buckley.
Oh, that'd be
It's
great. I'd see it.
Me too. It's a thing. It's
Love
a
Sweet
thing.
Song. Nope.
Yes?
Is it Love Sweet Song? Let me do Nancy Drew.
Oh boy. This is the part of the podcast where we look up books.
No. All
Is
right.
where we research, guys. Remember when we used to do our research before we came on the air? That's for
Ah,
amateurs.
that is for amateurs. That's no fun.
No, but yeah, there is a pilot coming out. Well, it's in the works right now called Drew, and it's based on Nancy's like older Nancy Drew, and she has a lesbian best friend who's a cop. And she was dating a reporter, but then he betrayed her. I don't know. It's clearly you can tell I've not read the script. Just
You were really intrigued by that one.
I actually was mildly intrigued because I was like, what are we doing here? Between that and the tick I am excited for.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Yes. Okay. So here we go. Back to, I was right. Okay. So it's called Spring Break Adventure.
Ooh, saucy.
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic. There's this moment where they go to, their car, you know, their car breaks down and, something happens. They end up stopping by the shack on the side of the road, basically, but it was this, it's not actually a shack. It's a, one of, Thomas Edison's, warehouses where he's like fixing things. Anyway, one of the scientists that's in the scene is Clark Gregg, and it's a young Clark Gregg, but it doesn't look like young Clark Gregg. He just looks like
Clark Gregg.
And you're like, second, this was like 25 years ago.
You know what? So I don't know. We'll have to find out if he's friends with Patrick Stewart, because I have this theory that Patrick Stewart actually has the Fountain of Youth in his backyard, and celebrities just pay him to take a dip.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Such celebrities include Tom Selleck, Clark Gregg, Gillian Anderson.
Wait, I found a new one the other day. I forgot who it was, though.
But think about that. The amount of these actors that we as, you know, 30-somethings have been watching since we were teenagers or younger have not aged since we were that age.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. But I would love to see Clark Gregg and some other stuff. I really want to see the film that he just came out with. I think that would be really, really fun. I forget what it's called, but it looked really wonderful. And I think Chris Evans just did a star and direct kind of film.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
was that the one that he filmed here in New York?
Yes.
He filmed something in New York? Why am I just finding this out? This is information.
Oh, he filmed it like last year.
Yeah, it was last year sometime.
Yeah,
information that would have been helpful sometime last year.
They were from like midnight on like the 2 train. Or out on like the NQR.
Oh, information that would have been useful last year.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
we were friends last year.
Yes, we were.
I know.
Yes, we were. Don't shorten our friendship.
So off. No, I always think I've been friends. Oh, I've been friends for 5 years. No, it's
yeah, right? He introduced me to someone at New York Comic Con last year. He was like, I've known Kay for like 3 years. And I was like, we met last year. Last year at this event.
3 years, you mean one? Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. So anyway, back to Agent Carter.
C.
Do you guys have a favorite episode from the season?
That's a very good question.
Ooh.
Or a favorite scene or something that stands out?
You know, I really love, so because I grew up on the West Coast and I love Los Angeles and I grew up in that area, our good friend Joseph, the Red Skull, Joe the Shark.
Oh, Joe.
He would disagree that he does not love that the show moved to Los Angeles, but I think that it really, really works, and it works very, very well for production purposes, because everything in Los Angeles, there are so many areas that are still the same, that are still exactly the same. And one of my favorite places that they did on location was Griffith Observatory.
Yes, Griffith is so beautiful. I loved that they shot there.
It looks just like it does on screen.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many great things that you can just do in the Los Angeles area. The other great thing that they did was they went to, in Los Angeles, for all our West Coast listeners, there is a great thing called Maxwell DeMille's Cicada Club, or Club Cicada. And it is a 1940s themed dinner and dance, and they'll have big bands there and they'll have dancing and everything else. And they actually, it was great. That's what they used for, I believe it was the second to last episode of Agent Carter. It's that great large room that everyone's having dinner. And it's not second to last episode. It's when, like, Jack is talking with Vernon Masters, and Vernon is saying, you know, hey,
yeah,
Carter's. And so Jack Thompson gets a lead from Jarvis, and he says, hey, something's up, Carter's here, I'm going to go search around. And that's actually filmed at that place, at that location in Los Angeles. And that's, I mean, that's been around. It's a historic site, but it's still in use. It's still, you know, it's not something that's new, that's made to look old. It's not on a soundstage.
Right.
It is. There are real ghosts there. That's, you know, there were so many ghosts, you know, I say the actual, you know, there's so many great moments that took place there in reality. So it's so fun to be able to see that and capture that. Not in like Bruce Almighty or any of these other movies that use that location for just a modern day fancy place. It's
right.
They're taking that era and they're bringing that era back using that time and that place when it was created. And that's what it was created for. Was so that's, I mean, that's fun for me as like a scenic and designer person to look and say, oh my gosh, this is so cool. That I get to nerd out about a place that was built and was created. It's kind of like shooting something on the Queen Mary. You know, yeah, I totally geek out about that.
Oh, yeah. No, I really geeked out when they were at... Go ahead. Sorry, finish your thought.
No, I was saying, I guess that's why it's on All Geek to Me Radio.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I kind of... I've only been to Los Angeles once, and I was there for about a week, and we went to Griffith a few times. I did a headshot shoot up there with a friend of mine. And when I saw that they were there, I was like, I've been there. I've been standing right there.
She did. I got that text.
yes, you did.
I got that text.
So like that was pretty neat for me too. Honestly, the moving locales did not bother me at all. I know some people that really kind of hated it and felt like, you know, why move it out of New York? It was perfectly fine in New York and blah, blah, blah. But like the reason that she sent out there is warranted. It's not like they're just transferring her out to Los
right,
Angeles.
It's not like they just moved it.
Right.
They weren't having to stretch anything. I mean, we know that the CIA isn't just based in one section of the country.
Right.
The FBI isn't based in one section of the country. The SSR follows completely. It's not going to be just this one small localized section, you know, coming up with S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
Right.
You know, you have so many places that you can operate from.
Right.
So I love that they had a West Coast office.
Yeah. And I think I like the way that they disguised it as a talent agency and That's Rose great. Having to deal with all these people coming in and singing and dancing and driving her crazy.
Oh, that was great.
That was brilliant.
Yeah. And I really loved, I mean, I liked her character from last season, but I really loved her this season. We got to see.
They didn't give her much to do last
Right.
year.
And this season we got to kind of see the brassy really broad.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. I don't know. I really, really liked it. Obviously, I really wanted to come back. And the Renew Agent Carter campaign was started 2 weeks before the finale even on social media.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the things that the new head of ABC is doing is that instead of her predecessor waiting to the last minute before upfronts, which it was very cool because I got to do upfronts 2 years ago before they started Agent Carter, and I was the only person that was working that event who even knew who Agent Carter was.
Brilliant.
Of course.
Great, and I was so excited, and I saw Haley Atwell down the hallway, and I was just like, oh my gosh, that's Haley Atwell. That's Peggy Carter.
That's Agent Carter.
No, I'm not, you know, I wasn't going to go up and, you know,
no, yeah.
make a complete idiot. That'll be later.
We'll do that in June.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be great. I'll have to bring that up to her, too. She won't remember me. It'll be great. And very awkward.
It'll be awkward and adorable.
Awkward prom photos. It'll be perfect.
Oh, God.
yeah, it'll be great.
You're going for authenticity here, making it real awkward first.
Yes, real awkward.
Yes. It'll be great. It'll be grand. But yeah, that was such a fun, where was I going with this?
You were at Upfronts and no one knew who Agent Carter was.
And no one who knew Agent Carter was.
And instead of waiting for the last minute for Upfronts, the new head of ABC.
Yes. So they've announced, you know, 15 other like major running shows. Yeah, we are going to keep these shows running. That's great. But definitely Agent Carter isn't on that list yet, but that's fine because it hasn't been on that long.
Right, and I
a
try to.
miniseries initially, even though that's what the writer said. No, we didn't plan it to be a miniseries all along. We want it to be a full series.
But it is a mini series.
It is a miniseries because her storyline, as much as we love it, I want there to be more, but I feel that the niche of fans that is so attracted to her is a niche. It's a smaller amount than somebody that's going to go see, Deadpool, or somebody that's going to get, you know what I
Oh,
mean? Right.
absolutely. Absolutely. I'm on
So
enough communities
making money.
around this show that I can tell you that it's very small. But sorry, I interrupted your thought.
Well, I mean, I was going to kind of compare it to like the musical Newsies. When Newsies came out, Disney.
Newsies.
But they really had a gold mine, and all the fans that loved it really, really wanted it to go. And then they did Broadway. They did a 12-week run,
And
and
it
they're
was
like,
awful.
limited engagement, 12-week run. And then they're like, oh, tickets are selling really well. And that was their plan all along. Do a small thing so that if it doesn't do well, that's fine. We didn't
We
lose
didn't
any money.
lose out.
Exactly. That's we planned for this to be, and the fact that they Agent Carter already has had a second season. That in itself is, a point for Agent Carter, because of the fact that it does show that, her fans really, really did love her enough in the first season to have enough of a voice be heard by the executives at ABC and by the studio to say, okay, great, we would love to have a second season. So if we can continue that momentum of getting your voice heard, getting out there, going on abc.com, making sure that, you click all the boxes and write a little thing. I saw that open letter to ABC. I love that. I thought that
Oh,
was great.
yeah. I actually went on their website and was going to actually put the letter in the box where you can put the information, and they only give you 500 characters. So all I wrote was, I have much more to say than 500 characters. Please read this, and gave them the link.
No, that's great. That's great, and that's actually what I should have done. I probably spent 2 days trying to figure out the exact wording of 500 characters, and every single time I would get it, I was like, I am too long-winded. What
Yep.
can I cut out? And so finally, I just basically did a small like, hey, I love the show so much. Please keep it up. Bring back a third season. If you
Show
want to know
is good.
more,
Make more.
I will tell you so much more.
Yeah, I mean it is kind of hard to say as little as that. And I think because the show's important in a lot of ways, like I said in that open letter. There's a lot of things that are kind of important about it, with just who
Well,
Peggy
yeah,
is
exactly.
and the things that they put on it, and the way they even slap us across the face with certain things about sexism and racism that are still going on now.
Right.
Hey,
Like
Vicky
Tara
is
Butters and Michelle Fazekas are smart women with their show. They
very
really
smart.
are. Just let them do more.
Well, my wife loves it,
Oh, it's
and
a great
she's
show.
not a superhero person. She's not a, comic book person at all, but
She would
she
make a
admires.
great Peggy.
Oh, she would.
I have the clothes. I don't know if we're the same size, but I have the
All
clothes.
right.
We can make this happen for you.
We can do this. I believe in us.
We can build it. Well, Kate
Yeah,
can build it.
but Prince is
Kate
really.
can build it, thanks.
Yes.
As M sits over there contemplating, how do I build a Winter Soldier arm?
It's gonna
I emailed you back,
I'm
by the way.
like kind of terrified.
I emailed you back, by the way. Sorry, listener, side note. There was a email that was received by me about a Winter Soldier outfit. And so I was responding back to Eileen about how to make it. So that's where this conversation has gone now.
Yes. But y'all forget my skills are not as up to par as yours are.
I know. We had a
No, well,
conversation about it on the phone today as well.
I can help you out. I can help you out. I don't
Really?
mind that at all.
Of course
That's
not.
what friends are for.
Right.
Friends help each other out.
She's being very amazing, and we had one really not great con experience where Kate had to build 9 costumes and then take them all to Comic-Con.
And so, like, I'm not asking you to
so
do that.
So she doesn't ask me to do much anymore, but I'm always here to help and always willing to help.
I know.
Yeah. Well, and doing a silver, you know, Winter Soldier arm is nothing, so...
to us.
I love that. It's, like, it's nothing. Meanwhile, I'm like, oh my god.
I have to make a mold of my arm, and I have to buy Warbler.
It's all very new to me. You have to understand all the costumes I've put together. I'm good at piecing, like, things that I buy together. Like, I can build that. But.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing right now as we're talking. I'm actually piecing things together by buying them.
Nice. I still say my favorite costume I put together myself was my female Captain Jack.
Yeah, Captain Jack. That was the best costume.
I know. I wish I owned the coat. I had borrowed the coat from a friend. So now I'm like, I want to wear it again. I don't have access to the coat.
You don't have it?
No.
No, I need to.
The officially licensed one is a little, like, close to $300.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so they're like $279.
Did you look at Abby Shot?
Look at where?
It's a company called Abby Shot. Shout out, Abby Shot. Have you not heard of Abby Shot?
No.
I feel like I might have.
You guys would love them. I will put you in contact with them. It's ABBYSHOT.com. And it's called Where Heroes Shop. And they have coats of Doctor Who, Firefly, Outlander, Once Upon a Time.
Outlander,
oh,
wait.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Rewind.
Oh, they're fantastic. AbbyShot.com. I know them through a friend of mine, Kelly Dunlap, who is a milliner. Mm-hmm. Or those Ooh. Of you who don't know what a milliner is, they are a hat maker. And she is based up in Toronto. She's known as the Saucy Milliner.
Oh, yes. I follow her on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, she's great. She's actually going to come down and spend the night with us here in New York on Wednesday night.
Oh, amazing.
And do some hat shopping and stuff. So she's going to come and chill out with us and while we do taxes.
Ooh.
Certain in life or death and taxes. Thank you, Mr. Franklin. And yeah, so she's going to come down and we're going to drink some pecan whiskey and all that. But needless to say, I know Abby Shot through her.
Right.
Because just up at Fan Expo in Toronto a couple of months ago, thanks to them. And they have phenomenal officially licensed, Abby Shot does, officially licensed jackets and wares.
I'm staring at the coat right now.
Yeah. And they'll do just incredible work. And you know, I can put you in contact with them for sure, because we're good friends. I'm supposed to be helping them on figuring out some pieces for Once Upon a Time, if I can.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Les would be all over that.
Yeah, she would.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But it's great, because, I mean, it's months and months of research and actually talking to the real costume designers who created the original pieces. That's who they're really working with to get these pieces absolutely
right.
Correct. You know, kind of like going and buying an Indiana Jones jacket from Wested Leather. If you want that Raiders look, you know, you're going to go to Peter Botwright's company in London and, you know, get the original measurements and get all that kind
right.
of stuff. You know, they did for Harrison Ford, so.
Very cool. This is awesome. I'm looking under their Outlander portion, and they've got, like, the cowl scarves that Claire wears and the arm warmers and all sorts of stuff. So if you guys are listening and you're curious, go check it out, because this is really awesome. And they've got, like, tartan stuff.
This is the point in the show where Kate and I both start.
Listen, it happens. It happens, okay? that's really, really awesome. It's really cool how some of the costume designers are open like that. Like, I know with the Agent Carter cosplay community, we constantly are tweeting with Gigi Melton, and she answers.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You know, we ask where a pair of slacks or shoes came from. And 9 times out of 10, whatever garment we like, she built it. But the shoes, she's like, okay, give me a minute to think 4 months back. I think they came from this distributor. And then we can go and actually find the screen accurate shoes. And like, that's how we know that her red sunglasses came from Old Focals and all yes. that fun stuff. But it's really nice when they're like that. And I've met a couple of these women who I admire, like getting to meet Ann Foley at New York Comic Con was so great. And she was so nice and willing to chat with us for like 5 minutes after she'd just been on a panel for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, I've never gotten anything negative from any of them. And it's really, really, really lovely that they're just as lovely as the actors that we meet constantly. But I wish there was somewhere that was like an outlet for the Agent Carter stuff so I didn't have to build it all. Because there's a list.
Kind of like the Facebook group Build Better Captain America. You wish there were a Build a Better Peggy Carter.
Oh, we have that. It's called the Agent Carter Cosplay Community. but I just...
What Facebook group would you go to normally to try to find the best Agent Carter material?
Material meaning fabrics or...
Not material, but I mean the best resource for you know...
For pictures... Okay, so like research-wise, there's actually a website that I'm actually part of and that we're compiling screen caps for, and it's peggycartercosplay.weebly.com. And we're slowly but surely getting all of the looks from Captain America and from first and second season of Agent Carter up there, at least the photos and what we've been told the dress might be made from.
Uh-huh.
And then if you're really looking for a good resource, like, oh my goodness, where am I going to find those shoes? The Agent Carter Cosplay Community on Facebook, that's the name of the group, the Agent Carter Cosplay Community. They have found the shoes, every pair of shoes that we know of where to get them is listed on there. I believe the group is a closed or a secret group that you have to get an invite to, but that's not difficult.
How very
exclusive.
Right. No, I'm not an admin on it, but I was added to it by a fellow Peggy cosplayer, and I've added a couple of that I've met since, and they approve pretty much everybody. But they know where to get all of that stuff. Like for example, the tiniest little details, like the one shot that's on the Iron Man DVD, the compact that she is holding to look around the corner, they know what brand it is, what the pattern is called, and they, you know, you have to find them on eBay, but they know exactly what brand it is and what the pattern is called, so you can go out and go find them. They're hard to come by. I happen to snag one, but it's because, well, they're vintage and they were made by a specific company.
Yeah.
So,
and they're made limited quantity.
Right. Mm. Then also like the
as much as they are.
Even like props, like the 9 transistor radios that they use in Agent Carter when they're out on a mission and they're talking to each other. They know what they're called. They know which model they are. Like, it's a really great community for resources like that. So it's kind of the equivalent to Build a Better Captain America.
Great. Great to know.
But yeah, it's a fun group of women too. Everyone's there to support each other and build each other up and tell you that you can sew even if you've never sewn before, which is pretty great.
You can do it.
You can do it. You just have to start somewhere. One of the girls, I know for sure, I'm sure a couple of them have, but one girl learned how to sew so that she could make, I forget which dress it was, but one of the specific dresses. She taught herself to sew so that she could make that dress. I was like, that's great. I love it.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, you learned a trade so that you could make a dress that you fell in love with. Like, that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. So, yeah, Peggy Carter inspires more than just knowing your value. Gigi Melton's gorgeous clothes inspire all of us to go, can I find crepe anywhere? Oh. Harder to come by than you think.
Well, So really quick, back to the concept of Agent Carter bringing in the show, season two, bringing in so many different facets of our present day life and really expanding upon diversity. We have women in leadership roles on the show. We have women that really can show up some of the men in the physical roles, as far as self-defense or, being proactive. I mean, Rose with that clown that's trying to audition, that I don't quite know what he did wrong, because I actually was really enjoying him, poor guy. And the next thing I knew, throwing him against the window. But I really liked her character at that moment. It was very fun. But one of the things I was interested about was actually talking with my family during the holidays when some of the first episodes were coming out, and we were talking about Jason Wilkes, and they said how unrealistic it was that there would have been a black physicist at that time. And I said, I don't think so.
Neither do
I said
I.
it would have been extremely rare, but it could have definitely happened. So I looked it up, and there was a gentleman. He was University of Chicago, and his name is Warren Henry, and that was 1941. So it's very interesting to know that, the first physicists that we had, as far as African Americans, really having a presence in that arena, it was so few and far between, but they were there. So the fact that they're able to take that and incorporate that into a show for a modern audience, I mean, I love that. I love that they're taking truthful things that we didn't think about, we didn't know about, necessarily. It wouldn't have crossed my mind to think about that before. But it really does open up so many more avenues of research and say, oh my gosh, my world just got so much bigger now. This is amazing. And so much smaller at the same time, because it really does hit home. With so many of these aspects of the show, which is the writing again, fantastic.
I figured it was, I didn't give it too much thought as being that weird just because it was still around wartime and around the time of the war, they just let people, they wouldn't let do things normally, do stuff because they needed them. So that's why it seemed okay to me.
Like it worked. Okay.
Like, time of war, you need all hands on deck. All right, so they let
Well, the
them do
Tuskegee
this.
Airmen.
Yeah, the Tuskegee Airmen. I didn't find it too odd either. It didn't seem out of place for me, and I didn't
We're
have,
very progressive people.
I guess. But I remember at one moment we were watching that episode where they go into the bakery or the coffee shop and to get change for the phone, and the guy freaks. My mother turned to me after they kiss in the phone booth, and she goes, "She would never have kissed a man of color back then." And I went, "Have you met Peggy Carter? You clearly don't know who you're dealing with, because this like of this character particularly is colorblind. She has fought alongside black men on the battlefront. Like, who do you think you're dealing with?" And I kind of love that they did that they made her get as irrationally angry, and it wasn't irrational. It made her get as angry as she did in that scene. And it was very appropriate, and it was very true to the character and true to the time period. So it was nice of them to not completely ignore the fact that there was a racial issue going on back then. But I love that, like you were saying, they actually took something that was fact, that, African American men were becoming physicists and scientists as early as 1941. That's really cool.
Oh, earlier than that. I'm
Oh, I'm
sorry. I
sure. Yeah.
spoke. The first one that it was 1878.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, the gentleman that I was talking about, Warren Henry in 1941, he was the sixth African American to receive a PhD in physics from, University of Chicago.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
So, fascinating. But I love it. But it's interesting because it is something so great about our generation and the upcoming generations of we are becoming less colorblind. Like, you know, like your mom said, she wouldn't have ever kissed a black man, or, you know, what my in-laws were saying, oh, well, they didn't have, you know, that wasn't around. And I'm like, oh, I think it might have been.
So, it might have been rare, but it was there.
Prove that, be able to say that and prove that. I was like, oh, that's amazing. You know, so
I'm gonna show my nerd colors as if we don't do that every week. I read
that's what we do here.
We have a favorite fanfic in the group where it's like Peggy's life, how it could have been. And she ultimately winds up marrying Gabe Jones. And they have a daughter together, and then they get divorced, and then it, you know, goes on from there. But they have a mixed race child in the 1940s or early 1950s.
Interesting.
But it's just this story was so well written and so well thought out that we all kind of adore it. Yeah. I've passed it on to many a person and been like, "Have you read War Stories? Because you need to."
Because if you haven't, get on it.
But it was an interesting way to think about it, because, you know, Gabe Jones was one of the Howling Commandos, but he was also one of the men that Cap would have saved from behind the German lines. So it made sense as well. Yeah.
It does make sense.
It was just an interesting look at the character, too, where the girl had her go a completely different way than I think we all think she would. Because, like, she, you know, her and Gabe, she won't give up working for S.H.I.E.L.D., so that's a rift in their marriage and all this stuff. So ultimately they get divorced and he takes the child, and then she has a kid with Howard Stark, which was weird, but it works.
Yeah. Wait, in this context it kind of worked, but it was a bit...
It's odd. In the context of this particular story, it works. But she wrote Jarvis's character really well in the story as well. So it was interesting, but I liked that the author of that story wrote her that way too.
That's what's so fun about fan fiction, is that you really can get as crazy as you want and explore a character to avenues that you never thought would have been possible.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But they're great what ifs.
They're wonderful what ifs. Not only that, they're really great writing exercises. You know, it's,
yeah.
I don't like people who look down on fan fiction, because Twilight became fanfic, became Fifty Shades of Grey. So I know that I hate that. I know, I'm sorry, I hate that too. But like for me, it's a way for you to exercise your creative juices and your brain by borrowing someone else's universe and characters and just playing with them for a little while.
Listen, Cassandra Clare started off writing Harry Potter fan fiction.
And now her show is called Shadowhunters.
And now she has a show on ABC. So, ABC Family. No, Freeform. Whatever.
Freeform. It's called Freeform now.
Whatever we're calling it today.
I'm going to call it ABC Family forever.
And I watch it every week. Some weeks are better than others, but I watch it every week.
But no, that's a good point. You know, it
became a movie. It was supposed to be three movies, but they messed up the movie and the movie was awful. But it became a movie, and then even after the failure of the movie, they made it into a TV series. And she started off writing possibly some of the best Harry Potter fanfic I have ever read in my entire life.
Really?
Yep.
Yes. She did. Whoa. It was called...
That was a collective yes.
I haven't read it, but
knows. It was the big one she had was like the Draco trilogies, and it was like sort of an alternate timeline. I forget where it splits off from the books, but like it's just she writes him so well and the rest of the characters just so brilliantly that you're like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But that's a great example of it. You know, she used it to exercise her brain, and now she was a well-read author of young adult novels, and now she's done movies, she's done TV.
She has a slew of books.
Yeah. So that's a great example of it, of, you know, just because you write fan fiction doesn't mean your writing is any less than.
No, of course not. Because you're still creating something.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's why one of the reasons Star Wars lasted so long was because of the fan fiction books that were...
Mm-hmm. That are canon, actually.
Well, yes, and then now they're not canon anymore.
But they were.
Yes, they were, but now they're not. Because now
we take it back.
It changed it. I don't mind it actually. I didn't love them. The books, because it was a little too within that world where it got a little too into itself, and I didn't understand the characters as much as the characters in the movies. It got a little too expanded, but in a way that my preteen mind and teenager mind was not quite
there yet.
I wasn't there yet. So, because I only knew the movies, I only had the toys, I only did, you know, I grew up with those classics.
Right.
And I didn't read comic books either. So when you have these novels come out that were, you know, who was it, Prince Izor and all that kind of stuff with Star Wars, and who was the guy who had the green and he had the big claws?
Oh!
A weird ponytail. Isn't that Zizer? No. I thought it was. Anyway.
It might be. I know exactly what you're talking about, but Star Wars names and stuff escape me.
Yeah, but anyway,
I always know far little than I should.
It's so fine. It's fine. It's not. Yeah, but that's one of the things that I'm, you know, in my point being, is that that's what kept Star Wars really alive for the fans, because it gave them something extra, and that's what's so great about Agent Carter, is it's giving the fans something extra. While we wait, while we're in between Captain America movies, one of the most successful franchises of that franchise, it really is something. Without giving us more Chris Evans, it's giving us more Haley Atwell, Peggy Carter, behind the scenes stories of other things that go into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., other things that go into Ant-Man, that go into the Iron Man films, everything else. So it really is this great launching board. And I think that if they wanted to expand it more, if they wanted to take the series and expand it more, it would be very easy to do that.
Absolutely.
Well, the other thing I like about it is they run it in between when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on. So instead of watching reruns, you get actual new content, and I think that's super smart.
And Jeff Loeb says it. He said it. I remember him saying it either this year or last year, that they were just excited that they were going to get to do so many hours of Marvel TV. You know, like we got 8 episodes last year, we got 10 this year, and I don't know what the number is exactly, but I vaguely remember him being like, "We're getting 30 hours of Marvel TV," and he was just like, "You know, that's a gift. It is a gift. This show is a gift to me, for so many reasons." Especially the opening sequence of the finale, that was just a wonderful gift. That whole musical number was fabulous. From the costumes to the dancing. What'd you say, Mike?
I said, I don't know, as a musical theater person.
As musical theater people.
No, I loved it. Thought it was...
It was really, really cute.
I really loved it.
I heard something
I thought that it was a perfect, you know, perfect moment where, you know, she got knocked in the head and, you know, she's figuring life out. And
I kind of like that they brought her brother back in that too.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Well, he's the one who got her into this mess. Yeah.
Right, it's all his fault. I heard a little thing, I think it might have, I don't remember who was saying it, either Tara Butters or Michelle Fonseca in one of their interviews were saying that Bridget Regan begged to be in that number. So they found a way to incorporate Dottie into it, because she's a trained ballroom dancer, so she desperately wanted to be in that sequence.
Is she?
Yes, yeah. So like, if you watch...
That makes her cry, level go even more.
Yeah. But if you watch in the background, all the dancers who were doing all the dancing in the background are dancing with the Stars dancers.
Of course.
And
they
she
are.
Keeps right up with them without a problem.
Of
so,
course they are.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So it was really cool. It's I believe Lottie Verbeck is a trained dancer as well. So
she might be.
I'm pretty sure she is. I think I read that for an Outlander thing.
I vaguely recall knowing that.
I think we lost Mike.
Oh no.
Well, it looks like we have lost our captain cosplay.
Did he fall into the ice?
Oh, too soon. Too soon. Oh, goodness. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Mike. We'll talk to you soon. And we hope you all enjoyed Agent Carter. Please, please, please go on abc.com and let them know what you think. Email them, call them. Whenever you put something up on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram that is something about Agent Carter, tag it, renew Agent Carter. Please, please, please. We want a third season. So until next week, I'm Kate.
I'm Em.
Have a great week in Geek.